Hello, everybody. This is Andrea. I'd like to welcome you to our June webinar and podcast episode. Before I get to the housekeeping for today's webinar, I'd like to mention our webinar partner, QuickFee. Many of you will know QuickFee already, and I'll let you know a little bit more about them at the end of the session today. A quick reminder on asking questions. If you're joining us live today and have the opportunity, to ask a question at any time, just use the Q&A function in your Zoom control panel, and we'll get to that at the end of the session. If you're viewing the recording or listening to the podcast later and would like to ask a question, feel free to contact us directly at smithinc.com. I'm now going to hand over to David Smith and Mark Holton, Smithinc directors, who will be discussing the firm of the future today. Over to you, David and Mark.
Right, thanks, Andrea, and good afternoon, everybody. Hope you're coping with the cold weather, and those of you in Victoria are coping with, hopefully your lockdown will disappear shortly. This is our hot topic webinar this month, and we decided to run it, call it as Firm of the Future, and to talk about some of the issues that we think are relevant for firms looking forward. And we did so because some of you might have noticed that we have now launched our first live event since 2019, actually. Our Young Guns event, which we've run for many years and had a very good response to, which is now being held in October. So it's something for you to maybe look out for. We're running a super early bird on that. So in conjunction with that particular event, we thought it's worthwhile maybe just kicking around together some of the issues that we think are relevant to practitioners looking forward into the future, things that maybe firms need to think about implementing into their strategic planning to get their firm's position to capitalize on what may be coming down the pipe. So we thought we might start by having a bit of a look at business advisory, which all of you would be aware is Mark Holton's passion. And I thought I'd ask you, Mark, about how firms get themselves organized for business advisory. You know, we've got firms that set themselves up with a separate division for financial planning. And I'd be interested to just learn, are you seeing firms doing a similar thing with business advisory, creating a separate division for it, and how have they gone about doing that?
It's a great question, Dave, and thanks very much. And hi, everyone, and welcome to our webinar series for June. I think it's the chicken and egg question. I'm seeing more interest in accounting firms about business advisory post-COVID than I probably ever have in the last 20, 22 years. The same old problem exists, however, and that is lack of time, lack of capacity, and what I think at times too is probably lack of commitment to want to change the practice in a manner that's required to be able to get advisory services happening on an ongoing basis and also a quite lucrative basis. In my mind, it all comes back to three critical things, Dave. Number one is I need systems. Number two, I need processes. And number three, and most importantly, I need people. And those people don't generally work when we drag accountants out of their comfort zone and say, you'll be a great advisor because you're a great accountant. Or clients love this person when they do their tax work and they'll automatically love them when they're advisors. I see a lot of firms that have made the decision to move into financial planning and created a separate division. I've seen other firms that have done the same type of thing with human resources and even IT. But when it comes to advisory, we tend to drag accountants out of the compliance thing and try to turn them into, in some cases, a role that they're just not comfortable with. In my mind, what we need to do is not worry too much about software. We've got to get the model right before we start. As part of the Smith Inc. Enabler process, step one of the seven steps is prepare your firm for success. So the real issue is how do I prepare my firm for that success? Number one, I'd be looking at your existing structure and what needs to change to be able to get advisory happening as well as, not instead of, as well as. Number two, I'd do an overall assessment of the infrastructure in your firm, as in, who's going to do what, when, and how? What services do you want to offer? How do you explain them to a client in a manner they see beneficial? because believe me, if that doesn't happen, they don't buy. Simple as that. How am I going to price it? Will I package it? Who will do it? And how will I build a model that's actually scalable? I was with a firm recently, Dave, that told me they did an awful lot of advisory work. I said, how much? They told me the figure. And it was all measured on revenue. I said, how profitable was it? And they couldn't tell me. Because even though they tracked the revenue, they weren't tracking the profitability. And then when we sat there and analyzed who was doing what, the model was not scalable. The right person was not doing the right role at the right pay rate. And when we finally unit costed what they did, believe me, the profit was pretty darn ordinary. We've got to get that scalable model working. The other thing we've got to do is to get a client engagement model happening and apply it right across the firm. And that is firing the client up by doing a needs analysis meeting, finding out what keeps them awake at night, finding out what's important to them, and then creating, you know, succinct yet personalized yet individualized proposals that actually sell. And only once we've done that and done that well, then we'll worry a little bit about how do we deliver it. I think we spend too much time worrying about how will I deliver something when we haven't got a signed up client to go with, because we haven't worked out what we're actually selling and how much it costs. And ultimately, we haven't addressed the two C's, and that's commitment and capacity. So, Dave, to summarise that, it's all about systems, process, people.
Fantastic, Mark. It is such an interesting challenge, isn't it, to get all of that organised so that people are able to get their business advisory tracking in the right way. And I couldn't endorse more the idea of really trying to work out the profitability of it, because you should be achieving a higher average hourly rate on advisory work compared to compliance.
Absolutely, Dave. And speaking of what, Dave, I just mentioned about people, what do you think is the best way to manage the most important asset in an accounting firm, and that's people, both individually and in teams?
It's a critical issue, isn't it, Mark? One of the things which I thought was interesting, there's an article I read in the press not that long ago that the big four accounting firms are 1,000 auditors short at the moment. And if you're trying to get an audit through one of those big firms, you probably are seeing the implications of that, that it's taking forever for things to emerge. And it just shows that we're going to have to get very good at managing our people, because anecdotally, I'm hearing lots of stories of firms getting quite aggressive in trying to poach staff for their firm, because the shortage is well and truly there. And because we've got zero immigration at the moment, it's getting worse as well. So we need to get into the heads of our team and make certain that what we're doing with the team is really giving them opportunities to develop in the firm, and that we're giving them the feedback that they desire. I've done a number of over many years now, I've done a lot of situations where I've actually interviewed team members inside firms, and I can tell you that the vast majority of them hate the performance review system that the firms implemented, because it really doesn't give them the desired feedback about where they're heading. So a few years ago, we decided to, in the work that we do with firms, to really chuck the traditional performance review system out of the way and come up with what we call career development plans, which is all focused on where the person is heading in their career, and agreeing with them the actions that need to be implemented to get them to where they wish to go, so that they've got a little bit of a roadmap about where their career is heading. Because all too often, I hear that people are frustrated that they don't have that roadmap, don't really know where they're heading in their career, and not getting that sort of effective feedback. Associated with that is also the idea to run these what I've called end of job reviews, which is the idea where we're giving them regular feedback at the end of each job on what went well, what didn't go well, how can we do the job better next year, because Unfortunately, with the pressure of time, all too often the leaders in firms can give negative feedback and not enough positive feedback. And so if you're able to then, at the end of each job, just do a quick little step back and just say, well, how did that job go? What went well? So you can give them some positive feedback. What didn't go well, so you can give them some constructive criticism on how they can improve it, I think you'll find that team members will really appreciate that extra level of feedback. Firms also are implementing things like mentoring programs that are also a great circuit breaker in firms. There's nothing better than to be able to sit down with someone and just have a bit of a natter about what's working, what's frustrating you, and getting some feedback from a more experienced person about how they might address any particular issues or concerns they have about what's going on for them in the firm. Because at the end of the day, what we really want to make certain is that people are motivated, enthusiastic, and committed in working for the firm going forward. So we need to put a variety of things in place to ensure that that happens. And we shouldn't ignore fun either. And so, you know, do you have enough fun in your firm is a question you need to ask by doing things which are a bit out of the ordinary. I just reflect on the fact that I used to walk around and come back to the office with big bags of donuts and start throwing them around to my staff just to break things up and do something a bit differently. And I think if you can do that and change the mood of the place, that's part of what people are looking for going forward as well. So it's just getting your mindset right to spend the time and give that effective feedback is really critical. And the last thing I would say is that with your more junior people, to ensure that the junior people are getting enough exposure to different types of work and they're getting exposure to clients, because when you talk to them, more junior people, that's what they're really looking for. They want to develop their career, they want to get exposure to different things, and they want to get in front of clients so they can understand that client-advisor relationship, and that will build them better in their career going forward.
You're saying, Dave, there's some great points there. I love the one about celebrating success. I don't think we do that enough. Mm. I've always been about having a good time, both at work and when I'm not at work as well.
Yeah. Well, if you want to have a good time, why the hell are you supporting the Rabbits?
Go Bunnies, 2021 premiers. You notice the tie today too, guys, just trying to look a bit sharp and smitty. Yeah. Even though it's choking my neck, I'm happy to do it.
It's not working.
Speaking of new, creative, exciting things, Dave, what emerging technologies do you think will change the way that we're going to work in the future in the profession?
So
that's,
I think,
difficult to do
in a couple of minutes. Yeah, it is a very big topic. Just some quick little takeaways. If you look at the immediate future, I think one of the things that firms really need to start to focus on in working with their clients is the use of dashboard type technology. Some of you would have heard of Microsoft's Power BI product. Really is a great platform to start to build these digital dashboards. But what we need to do is, instead of just generating data, which is what accounting does, is generate a whole lot of data, we have to get better at presenting that data so that clients can really very quickly understand what's happening in their business. And at the moment, it looks as though Microsoft Power BI is the go-to platform that a lot of firms are using. And I would, those of you who have not spent much time with it, I think investing some time to really understand what BI could do and how it can help you develop your work with your clients, and particularly if you want to expand into and develop more business advisory work, it's a fantastic way to do that. So I think that's one element. The other thing which is interesting is through COVID, clearly we all got a lot more comfortable with video conferencing. So I think there's a little bit of a question about how do you use this tech going forward to be able to service clients anywhere, whether they're in the next street as you or they could be in the next state. And so starting to use video conferencing more strategically, I think, will be something that a lot of firms will address. The other thing which I think has COVID has also driven is a drive towards paperless and e-signatures. And so a lot of firms who were very resistive of going down the full paperless road have made huge strides in doing that. And so the firms that haven't really spent the time investing in the processes and the tech to enable that, I think they are in danger of being somewhat left behind and really need to invest the time to look into that. The last thing I'd say about the here and now is that I think the other thing that people need to start to think about is the concept of collaboration. Now, Microsoft Office 365, the Google Workspace suite of products, both allow you now to be able to do things like share documents in the cloud and allow multiple people to be editing and commenting on documents at the same time. Now, if you start to think about this concept of a shared document, start to think about what that could actually mean on how you could service a client, so that essentially while you're still working on a document, your client could be looking at it and putting comments in it. A lawyer advisor could be looking at it and putting comments in it. And so you can have multiple people working on it at the same time, which reduces the friction and speeds up getting the work out and ultimately for the client lowers the cost. So with a bit of lateral thinking, I think there's a whole lot of ways that tech can be used. Going forward from there, I think a little bit further out on the horizon is really three technologies. One is business process automation. And that is taking the things that you do in an accounting firm, and there's a lot of repetitive tasks inside accounting firms, and there is now technology out there which allows you to automate those repetitive tasks. Some of the big four firms are investing billions in this technology to create this level of automation. There are tools now which means you don't have to be a programmer to do this. You can use the tool sets to enable you to do that. So I think trying to automate the day-to-day processes will be a big issue in the not too distant future. And then a little bit further out from there is again, looking at the big data, data analytics and artificial intelligence. And there's two elements to this. These technologies can assist you in finding errors in the data so that the data will be more accurate and easier to complete work. But secondly, these technologies have the capacity to be very predictive in saying, well, this is where you are today in your business. These from the data and comparing the data of your business to other businesses, this is, if you pulled these three or four levers, this could be where your business could go. And that technology holds a huge amount of promise. It's probably further down the line than immediate today, but I think it's definitely technology that one needs to keep one's eye upon. So very quickly, there are some of the things that I think we should be thinking about, but we also can't ignore the client. This is all good stuff, having the tech, but we need to be able to engage with our clients effectively. And Mark, that's an area where you've got some passion. And, how do we engage the clients effectively?
Thanks, Dave. Great summary too on technology. Interesting, Dave, that we were talking about divisional services in accounting firms earlier. I'm aware of one particular firm that have set up a Power BI division.
Yeah.
And again, resourced it properly, as in someone to run it, someone to manage it, someone to admin it. Mm. So pretty similar model of financial planning and also for what I think advisory needs to be.
Yeah.
But when it comes to questioning, geez, that's a challenge. With experience, I don't tend to find it that difficult to go and have a conversation with a client. ask them a few questions, maybe prepare three or four, maybe five, sit down and listen to them. I think the skill in questioning is not us telling them, which we're prone to do when it comes to sitting a client down with a set of financial statements in the compliance model. It's actually listening to what they say and then building on what's next. So it's the old cliche that we have two ears and one mouth and should use them in like proportion, which is difficult for a lot of people that traditionally have got clients in front of them and said, now, listen, here's your position. This is what you've done well. This is what you might not have done so well. Here's your returns. Here's your financial statements. Sign here. Here's the bill. So we don't really have to question that much. I'm a big believer that if you're going to do anything other than compliance-based services, but can you also do this in compliance, you've got to practice questioning skills. And to get better at it, you need to prepare for it. On the Smith Inc. website, we have 100 needs analysis questions broken into 10 areas. That's our 10 by 10. That's 100 open-ended questions you could potentially ask a client about what's happening in their life, what's happening in their business. You do not need 100. I'm a big believer, if I'm going to go out and have a conversation with a client, I'm going to prepare for 5. I'm going to follow an acronym that I use, which is SWRFS. S for strength, W for weakness, R for risk, F for funding, and S for succession. And I'm just going to develop 5 questions, Dave. And I'm just going to have a chat. I'm going to listen. You know what? If the client's starting to look glazed or looking a little bit restless, I won't ask them all 5. I'll ask them whichever one I think's right. But what I have found with a lot of firms is that the more you do it, the easier it becomes, because I do believe repetition breeds learning. But in the early days, we do need some structure. You've got some great ideas on the Smith Inc. website, but when the time comes to engage a client to do a needs analysis and have a conversation, remember one thing, everyone. It's not about us telling them. When we start to tell them, we generally give advice away for nothing. And boy, that's hard to bill later. What I'm going to ask them is 5 simple things, like, for instance, strength. I'm going to ask them, what's been the best thing that's happened to your business over the last 3, 6, 12 months? And then I'm going to listen. And whatever answer I get, which you don't know because you can't predict it, hence the challenge of advisory, it's not historical, I'm going to talk to them, I'm going to ask questions, I'm going to dig into it, I'm going to try to unlock their needs. Weakness, I might ask them, okay, if you could change something in your business, what might that be? Risk, I might ask them, if something happened to you, could the business survive without you there? So I think one of the biggest issues in small business at the moment is dependency on the owner. Funding, pretty simple. Are you looking to borrow money? Yes. How much? When? What for? And lastly, succession. My favorite question is, how long do you think you can keep doing this before you go nuts? So I reckon every small business owner will go nuts at some stage in their business, like every accounting partner.
You've already gone nuts.
I have, well and truly. I follow South Sydney. I've been nuts for years. That's coming from a St. George supporter, guys. Apologies to all the Victorian, South Australians, and West Australians who don't understand rugby league. Okay? But I really believe this is an art that we need to practice. It's not something that comes naturally for a lot of people, but we've got to get some structure behind it, but then listen and build on the questions. Finally, I could say, Dave, I remember one of the business advisory conferences we did when I think I acted as the client. You were the accountant, and you asked me a series of questions, and I threw off a lot of leads to the audience. Not too many of the leads were picked up on because we were too focused on wanting to ask the next question. If I prepare for 5 and I ask 2 and I get the right reaction, I'm happy. So I think we need to practice this, because whatever you get from a client in the form of a response then needs to tie back into what service can you offer in your firm to help them address that issue. So a response that requires support is an opportunity. And I think that's the one thing we've got to get better at, Dave. Speaking of getting better at, I mentioned earlier that the things that kill advisory is things like lack of capacity, lack of commitment. What do you think firms need to do to try to address this issue and maybe create a bit more capacity to do something other than compliance activity.
So I've got, 2 minutes to cover this topic, have
I? Yeah,
oh, fantastic.
Yeah, I've got one for the last.
So outside the fact that I think every firm needs to have a resource plan, and I don't have time right now to get into the details of a resource plan, we're going to cover that at our Young Guns event, so there's maybe a reason to come. I think a resource plan is a critical element of effectively managing your capacity. But in terms of actually creating free capacity, funnily enough, it's actually some pretty simple stuff. The first question is, when was the last time you did a cradle-to-grave review of all of your processes and stripped them all apart and said, how can I do this process in half the time, a quarter of the time? Do I need this process at all? Is a question which is also worth asking. Because if you can strip out just 5% of the time associated with your processes, all of a sudden that's real extra time you have to service your clients and earn extra revenue for your firm. So how I recommend firms do that is that once a month you pick a process in the firm and you re-engineer it from the ground up and work out how you can actually do it a lot more efficiently and strip pieces away. Obviously things with looking at the technology, looking at going paperless, looking at using e-signatures, all of those sorts of things is a critical component. The second element that I think is worth thinking about is delegation. Because in many firms, the free capacity sits lower down in the firm and the people at the top of the firm are absolutely frantic. And yet it's those people who can go and develop the business advisory and extra services for the firm, but they've got no free capacity. So you need to develop a delegation culture to be able to move work further down through the organisation so you can create that free capacity at the top. And that's things like involving team members in client meetings and the like. It's taking some risk in terms of getting team members with a little bit less experience to do some of the work, obviously with the right levels of review and the like. But creating a delegation culture is a fundamental element to create capacity at the right level. And then lastly, you need to get the clients organised, because the clients quite often are the people who screw you up the most. And if you can get the client better organised in the way that they get information to you so that you're then able to do the work more effectively, that again is capacity that you can put in the bank. So there are a couple of very quick ideas that I think are worth pursuing in addition to doing a resource plan. Now, Mark, the other thing which is critical is that we need to be able to communicate well. And, one of the things that, even I will acknowledge that you're not too bad at is to do some presentation skills. And so how can people enhance and develop their presentation skills?
Well, Dave, if you had 2 minutes for that one, I've got about 30 seconds for this one before we run out of time, but I think it's really critical. I really do. Presenting is not easy. I'm a strong believer that the best presentations I've done is when I've felt a little bit of anxiety before I went on. And that anxiety might be a bit of stirring up in the belly or whatever the case may be. I think that keeps me focused. I really do. The days when you sort of go on, you think, I've got this under control and this is easy, it's the days you tend to make a mistake. So I think preparation is critical. Understanding your audience is critical. And I feel I've always believed in my career that it's better to learn with a laugh than without one. So humour can work used the right way. I'm not saying I'm an expert in that space, believe me. A lot of things I've said haven't gone down real well over the years, but it hasn't stopped me from having a crack and giving it a try. And that, I suppose, for an accountant in practice and a young gun coming through, I don't think they're that scared, Dave. I don't. I think we saw with our 2019 Young Guns event in the session that Steve Allen from Say A Few Words ran, that he had not only people up on stage doing two-minute presentations about something, you know, their work, their holiday, their family. One fellow did it on how he got a black eye. But after he finished, he had about another dozen people lined up saying, can I do mine in front of you? And can you critique what I'm doing? So I don't think the younger, more entrepreneurial accountant is that worried about getting up and having a conversation. But I think it all comes back to preparation, understanding your audience, taking them on a journey. I've long believed our role as an accountant and a good advisory accountant is a storyteller. And every story starts with once upon a time, has a body and ends with happily ever after. So you're taking them on a journey. You're talking to them about, you know, not only what I've done, but here's an idea to think about and go back and maybe put in play. And Dave, with that in mind, before we do finish everyone, and again, thank you everyone for being online today. I just wanted to make mention to you that we are, as David said, running our first live face-to-face, believe it or not, event since COVID hit. This event's been postponed more times than anything you could imagine. And thank goodness the Hilton at Surfers Paradise, where it's going to be run on the 11th and 12th of October, have been very receptive and accommodating in moving this event. But we are committed to doing it, guys. We have a stellar range of presenters coming along, including Steve Allen from Say A Few Words. We also have Andrew Conway, the CEO of the Institute of Public Accountants, who will be doing a session on accountants and mental health. We have Mandy Holloway, who will be focusing on leadership and management of teams and the like, and the two old blokes you see on screen who will sit up there and debate like the two guys that were in the Muppets, if anyone can remember that, sitting up on the top having a go at each other. So we do have a discounted super early bird pricing model on till June 30. Love to see you or your teams there. I often get the question, I had it yesterday, what does it mean to be a young gun? I said, well, that's all in your mind. You know, I think we've had people, Dave, from about 18 to 70 come to this event over the years, over the 8 or 9 years.
Yeah, we have, yeah.
So it's, you know, if you think that your team will benefit from it, it's not technical training, it's people management. It's soft skills. It's how to engage, how to question, how to get advisory happening, how to develop capacity, maybe how to acquire equity potentially in the firm in the future. So, and we also will debate in detail what the firm of the future looks like in part two of what we've done today. But I did want to announce everyone that APS, Reckon APS, have decided to sponsor a Young Gun of the Year award in three particular categories you see on screen. Stay tuned. Smithick will put out the details of how a young gun might apply for this, but it's a quite substantial cash-based award that can be applied to further education or whatever the young person decides to do. First of its kind, we thank Reckon APS for that. So with that issues in mind, Dave, I'll say thank you very much for your input today and pass back to Andrea for any questions at all.
Thanks, Mark.
Thanks, Mark and David. Just a reminder, if you would like to ask any further questions, just type that into your Q&A function on the Zoom control panel and I'll read that out. Just while we're waiting for some questions to come through, I'm going to let you know a little bit more about our webinar partner, QuickFee. QuickFee Installments is the first ever non-recourse advice now pay later solution for professional accounting firms. QuickFee Installments use a sophisticated technology to let your clients pay their invoices within a 4 interest-free monthly installments while you get paid in full upfront. It uses your client's existing credit and doesn't affect your client's credit file, making it the most responsible buy now, pay later payment solution for your clients. There's no credit risk to you, no monthly fees, and no long-term contracts. Smith Inc. has negotiated an exclusive 30-day free trial for you, so just go to the website quickfee.com.au/Smith Inc. and sign up using Smith Inc. as the promotional code to get the 30-day free offer. And I'll make sure that I send those details out for you when we send out the recording later today. So seeing if there's any questions come through. Had a couple of comments from a few people. No Q questions
all
at the
moment. Wants me to buy a treadmill to to wear off, to get the weight off from the donuts.
The donuts. So we might need to get a bit healthy, not just donuts, to provide a bit of weight. but thank you, Paul, for your comments. And both, it's funny, Paul and Manisha both commented, Mark, on system structure people. Paul has said, right on, Mark. And Manisha said, this is our life in the profession.
Good stuff, Andrew.
John, and you may have covered this, David. John has asked, last time I looked a few years ago, MS Power BI does not work on a service structure, only a desktop.
I can't answer the question. I'm afraid I don't have enough knowledge to answer that. Power BI sits somewhere above Excel. So you'd think with Excel being in the cloud now with Office 365, maybe there is, but I'm definitely not equipped. I don't know the answer to the question. However, if you're interested in Microsoft Power BI, I can recommend you speak to a bloke called Cameron Lynch. He runs a business called Etani, E-T-A-N-I, in Adelaide. And he is working with accounting firms to develop a Power BI solutions for the firm and the clients. So you might want to speak to Cameron.
Thanks, David. I might get those details and put them out with the recording today as well. Paul has made a couple more comments, which are always very insightful. Questions really are the key in advisory, aren't they? Which I think we can all agree on. And Steve Jobs quote, the most powerful person in the world is the storyteller. The storyteller sets the vision, the values, and the agenda for a generation yet to come. Great session with great energy. Thank you, David. Thank you, Mark. Elizabeth said that thank you, David and Mark. And we have no questions. So I think you guys have covered everything. But of course, if anybody would like to ask further questions, just feel free to contact us. Of course, reach out to us with any questions about the Young Guns event as well. 30th of June is when the super early bird pricing ends. Thank you, David, and thank you, Mark, for presenting today.
Thanks, Andrea. Thank you all for joining us. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thanks, Dave.
Thanks, Mark.
Hi, everyone.